Last week, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's go ahead and look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. We've now embarked on a new subject, a new topic. Once again, when you do expository preaching, you're going to be forced, by virtue of the context, to plow through subject matter that maybe in most churches is never addressed. If you preach topically, and there's nothing wrong with topical message, don't get me wrong, but if that's all you do are topics, and you never pick up a book and take the time to plow through every chapter, every verse, key words, things of that nature, you're really going to miss out in understanding the Bible as a whole unit and see the symmetry and the continuity between Old and New Testament and from one book to another book. Look at verse 18. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates. So this was not an option. This was something that God's people were going to have to get done when they get into the land. They've conquered the land. They settled in their cities. And now we have to have some type of law and order. We need to have some type of structure where individuals can bring forth a grievance. Okay? Settle an argument. Maybe they're arguing over a boundary between two men's properties. That even goes on today. Maybe they're going to squabble over water rights. How much of this river belongs to him or her? Whatever. Maybe it's personal relationships that need to be reconciled. Maybe somebody has been squandered of their inheritance. And so they make an appeal to some appellate court. That's what we're looking at here. And as I mentioned last Sunday in opening up this particular portion, two subject matters we are always told never to discuss at the dinner table, especially during the holidays: politics and religion. And we saw last week that Jesus discussed both. The apostles touched on both of those subjects. Okay? And when you go to the Old Testament, you see politics and religion mentioned, especially if you read through the book of Chronicles and Kings. There you have nothing but page upon page discussing one king's administration, the one before, the one he's now on, and the one that would come after him. You find all of their decision-making, the wars that they fought, the intrigue in their palace, if you will, assassinations, treason, things of that nature. So the Bible, beloved, is loaded with politics or governance, as well as religion, good religion, true religion, as well as the perverted and false religion as well. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates. And we looked at that last week, telling you that when you went into these ancient cities, even during the Middle Ages, when you walked through that main gate, beloved, it wasn't simply 2 inches of plywood, and then you walked into the inner courtroom of this particular city. You had stalls, you had little booths, if you will, and there, city business was actually conducted. Matter of fact, if you know your Old Testament well enough, how did Absalom, one of King David's son, how did Absalom begin his treason against his father? Well, he moved into one of these gates of the city. And when people were coming to air their grievance to King David, Absalom would basically intercept them, rule, and make his own judgment in whatever he heard. And the Bible says what? He stole the hearts of David's subjects. There's a good example of what happened in the gates of the city. Treason. Okay? Backstabbing his own father. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. I want you to look at that, judging the people with just judgment, not perverted judgment, not making a decision because you were paid under the table to lean a certain way. You are to make a determination not based on the faces of those standing in front of you. You're going to make a decision not based on the fear of one person over another because this person is more prominent in that culture or in that city or in that society, and therefore you're going to lean to their favor not to upset them because they write a big check at the end of the year. Just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. You're not to twist it and turn it like a wax nose. Luther talked about how people will take a wax nose and then they can change and twist that nose into any shape or any form. And that's what people do today when it comes to judgment. Just look at our own Supreme Court. You're going to tell me that our Supreme Court is not biased? They are biased. Those men and women on the Supreme Court are no different than you and I. They have their own presuppositions. They have their own morals. They have their own moral compass. And beloved, irregardless of what they claim, when they make their judgments, a lot of their political understanding that makes them who they are, beloved, eventually bleeds. Thou shalt not respect persons. Okay? Neither take a gift. A synonym, don't take a bribe. For a gift that blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. We saw that in our own state recently, where in attempt to override one of our governor's veto, I believe, touching the subject of girls playing with girls and men playing with men in those respective sports, keep the genders separated. Girls play with girls and boys play with boys. We were unable to override that veto by just a few votes. And we found out later that one of the key persons who voted not to override the governor's veto, a Republican, i.e. a rhino, was promised a little hefty position if they would simply change their vote. And because of that backstabber, we were unable to bring decency in athletic sports competitions. All because of a bribe blinded this man's eyes to what the people wanted. That which is altogether just shall thou follow. Just, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, beloved, there were a myriad of qualifications and requirements given by God to the people for them to remain in the land. God warned them that if they strayed off into idolatry, which unfortunately they did in mass, he would spew them out of the land, just like he spewed the nations that Israel conquered out of the land. Well, notice this one. If the nation, the judges and the officers that were being appointed by whoever, went ahead and twisted justice, took bribes, looked the other way, were more fearful of the face of men versus the face of God, God said, you want to live long in the land? Then you make just rulings, proper decisions based on a fixed standard of law. Well, we know what happened to the 10 northern tribes, right? They went into exile for a myriad of reasons. And a century later, Judah and Benjamin went off to Babylon for a myriad of reasons. Well, this morning, that's introduction. This morning, turn with me to Psalm 89 for our text. Psalm 89. Now remember I told you to home in on that verse 18, and they shall judge the people with just judgment, okay? And then verse 20 says, that which is altogether just shall thou follow. So the question is, where did these people, where were they going to find a standard of just judgment? What standard, what law were they going to use in their deliberation and coming to a proper decision? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Psalm 89, and notice where that standard is to be found. Look at verse 13. The psalmist is talking about the one true and living God. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Look at verse 14. Where's the standard coming from? Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So the Israelites, beloved, were not supposed to simply make up whatever rules they felt like making and then impose those upon the people. Neither were they to modify any standard of law because the culture was shifting and changing. Eventually, God's people, unfortunately, were tossing their children into the flames to Molech. Well, shall we pass a law saying that that was okay, even though God said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder? Beloved, that was not accidental murder. That was premeditated murder when they chose these babies and tossed them into the flames. So let's make a law that from now on, burning a baby is fine, just like we've done with abortion. God says, thou shalt not kill, meaning thou shalt not commit premeditated murder. And when you commit an abortion, beloved, in any stage of a child's development, you don't accidentally fall into an abortion. And you do not accidentally fall into getting yourself pregnant. It takes two to tangle. So, today, what do we find today? Things that were taboo-ish 50-100 years ago, again, marching down Main Street, half naked with rainbow flags. That was once contained in an underworld, a world that was hid in the darkness or shoved in a closet. Now, have you noticed, they're raising rainbow flags in cities across America. People standing in front of a podium with a rainbow tie, supporting a lifestyle that God hates. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. That is where we get our just judgment. We appeal to the judge of the universe. We appeal to the God of law and order. We appeal to a God who can only judge rightly. He tells us how we are to rule, whether it's in church discipline, whether it's in the court of the land, Now, when we simply throw God out of the picture and toss his word behind our backs, then, beloved, everything is open up. Everything is on the table. And as the culture changes, so must our laws change. That which was once evil now becomes acceptable. And it can no longer be punished because now we have made it our law. It's okay to kill a baby. It's okay to take a child, 7 or 8 years old, who wants to play in the dirt, and we're going to rearrange his or her body physically where they're no longer a girl and they're no longer a boy. They're something else now. To me, that's a form of hideous child abuse, to put that on any child. And yet now, it's acceptable. It won't be too far down the road that if you say anything against doing that to a child, you're going to be considered a hate speecher. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now notice the connection between verse 14-15. It says that the habitation, the very surrounding of the throne of God, the very nature, the very essence of that throne is governed by justice and judgment. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound of what? The law of the Lord. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Well, what is radiating from the light of his countenance? Justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day. In thy righteousness, in the righteousness of the Almighty, shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense. Now, what does a judge do? Well, beloved, in the end, he or she makes a determination to defend justice, to defend the right. And the Holy One of Israel is our King. I want you to home in on that verse 14. We saw that in our text, opening text of Deuteronomy 16. They are to do just judgment. Well, it's not just judgment as they want to see it, not as the people are shouting back at them, or as society changes from one decade to another. Just judgment originates where? The habitation of the Almighty's throne comes down to men. What we're going to do now is do a word study. Now on the board, these are the words we looked at last week, okay, in the Hebrew, that are translated in the Authorized Version, the text underlining it, as judges and officials. We looked at this other word here, Q-A-L, call maybe. I don't know whether the Q sounds with the K sound. I'm not that versed on the Hebrew alphabet, so please forgive me. But then we have Nifal and Poel. Okay, guess what? The words that we're going to study here this morning are the same words used to describe what a judge and what an officer is. We're going to look now at what they are to do. So let's now let's go ahead and do our study. Now, the Hebrew word Q-A-L and Niphal, N-I-P-H-A-L, and Poel, P-O-E-L. What do those words mean when it says that Moses judged the people, or the king made a judgment, a just judgment? What does that mean? Well, listen carefully. These words mean to act as a lawgiver or a judge or a governor. So, to act as a lawgiver, okay? To rule, to govern, to judge. It means to decide a controversy between men. It means to discriminate. Ooh, nasty word. It means to discriminate between he who's innocent and he who's guilty by gathering all the facts of the case. Just like in church discipline. In many churches, church discipline is mainly the last weapon of vengeance that the church takes on this poor soul that's out of the way. It's more like a baseball bat than it is as a means to recover someone back to fellowship. That's the purpose of church membership, not to use a baseball bat and squash somebody because of what they've done or what they've said, or what you think they've done or what you think they said. According to the scriptures, if you're going to make a determination, if you're going to discriminate between the innocent and the guilty, you've got to gather all the facts, beloved. You've got to do your research before you throw the gavel down. It means to vindicate. These judges and these officers were there to vindicate a cause, to right the wrong. Okay? To right that which was out of the way, that which is in violation of God's law. They were there to make it right. And they did so by gleaning all the information that they can before they threw down the gavel. In this idea of judging, it means to condemn or to punish. Someone has to pay the price if they are truly guilty based on the evidence that is presented. And how did God even guard against a false witness? As we saw in our responsive reading from Proverbs chapter 19. Remember that? The false witness in verse 5 and verse 9 of Proverbs 19. God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a controversy or an issue was to be determined. Not just one lone witness, but it has to be substantiated and corroborated by more two or three witnesses. And the more witnesses you have, the merrier and proper we hope that decision will be made. The word Niphal means to enter into a controversy, to make a plea, and to judge. And then the word poel, when it's used in the verb form, meaning to actually perform the duty of a judge or an officer, it means to judge an opponent at law, one who participates in a controversy. Well, let's look how these words are used now in that sense. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 18 in verse 13. So when you read these verses now and you go back maybe in your devotional read and you come across these particular words to judge or judgment, whatever, as we shall see, Exodus 18 verse 13, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Well, you got to admit, beloved, that must have been one long line Moses had to deal with. I'm kind of curious if he had the little machine with the little tab, you pull it and there was a number. And Moses would now say, now serving number 130. And 130 would walk up, lay the ticket, and lay his or her grievance in front of Moses to deliberate. Can you imagine what the actual drain came upon this man? You figure he was at least 80 years plus at this time. And we're being told from morning to evening there was a long line of people with their grievances. But did you see the words? Moses sat to judge the people. He had to hear all the evidence that was presented, weigh the evidence, and then make a determination. Now drop down to verse 16. This is the conversation which we're going to look at here soon between Moses and his father-in-law. Moses' father-in-law looks at this long line of people just whining and bellyaching and wanting their grievances to be heard, and they want just judgment. And Jethro basically tells his son-in-law, hey son, you're burning the candle on both ends. And Jethro gives him some advice, which we're going to look at eventually. But here's what Moses says. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Now look very carefully at what Moses is saying. Moses is telling his father-in-law, and he's telling you and I at the same time, that in the process of making the decision on who's right and who's wrong, in order for Moses to have done that and for the people to accept his ruling, he just didn't throw his gavel down and make an arbitrary decision on what scant information he had. Not only was he judging the people, what was he doing at the same time? He's making known to God's people God's statutes and God's law. That's why when you read a Supreme Court decision, or you read, like on YouTube, I enjoy watching these court cases, especially when the judge, after hearing all the evidence, and the jury hears all the evidence, I wait with anticipation on the verdict of the jury. And that jury sat there maybe for months, okay, days upon end, away from family, cloistered, haggling in some back room, taking vote after vote to get some type of consensus. And then they reached a verdict. And then you come to the sentencing. And beloved, you have to be patient. I've watched where these judges, before they even make any determination as far as doling out punishment, they'll read page after page of how they came up with the punishment, citing this statute, quoting from a paragraph, and they'll name the paragraph by its number, okay, assignment. So while the judge is doing that, what else is he doing to the people who are in that courtroom and the ones watching? That judge inadvertently is teaching the people in that particular state the laws that govern them. It's a teaching experience for those who are hearing the judge read his or her determination or his or her decision before the punishment is doled out. What does it say here? And I do make them know the statutes of God and his law. So, beloved, again, we have to think. Moses was not just simply saying, you're innocent and you're guilty. Next. When he made his determination, he had to explain to the people what drove his decision. And so he's also teaching the people as well as making a determination between right and wrong, guilt and innocence. Drop down to verse 22. This was Jethro's advice. Let them judge the people at all seasons. What Jethro basically says to his son-in-law, you need to delegate some of this responsibility. You can't be the only one 24/7 with your ticket, pulling out numbers and calling numbers and then deliberating. You're going to kill yourself, Moses. Early grave. How about you find other judges and officers? You delegate to them what? Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, that same word, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now, stop and think. What did our founding fathers give us? Since many of them were well acquainted with the scriptures back yonder, we have all different levels of court proceedings. Now, the Supreme Court is the final arbitrator, but you have appellate courts. You have a staircase of different levels of appeal until finally, when everything is exhausted and you believe you've not had your just due, you can appeal to the Supreme Court, the final arbitrator in our country. But below the Supreme Court, you have different appellate levels that you can bring forth an appeal if you think you were not given just judgment. And so what is Jethro telling his son-in-law? The real big issues, maybe like murder, okay? Maybe somebody is doing a little bit of idolatry in the back room somewhere. But the small matters, like he stole one of my marbles. Let the lower levels take care of that. You take the very pressing. Maybe, how's this? Life and death issues. Let Moses decide life and death. Whether someone's bicycle was stolen, or whether someone's lawnmower was taken away. Let the lower level of judges handle that. Look at verse 26 of Exodus 18. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judge themselves. So what I want you to see here is this delegation, okay? Delegating authority at different levels, okay? This way here, Moses is not burdened or overly taxed. Now, when the scripture says that they were to do justice, okay, just judgment, what does that mean? Just judgment. Well, here's what those words mean. Listen carefully. What is right or just or normal? Righteous, justness of weight and measure. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. One of the things that's found in the law of Moses was that God hates an unjust balance. What are we talking about? A scale. A scale. In the ancient world, when you wanted to buy something, you didn't have paper currency. So what did you have? You either had gold or silver. Okay? And the person with the scales you would put your gold or your silver, whatever, on one part of the scale, and then the person with the scale had certain weights to determine the value. And when the two scales balanced, that was a sign that everything was equal in value to the proportion of gold and silver to the item that you were buying, whether it was spices, whether it was produce, whatever. You know what happens today when you have a scale? Even if you have a digital scale. I can remember working in the Air Force dining hall. We had this huge scale. Huge scale with that big old, it looked just like a clock, the scale. You had that red arrow sitting on zero, and you had all the different breakdown and how many pounds. And this went, I mean, well over 100 pounds, sometimes 200 pounds. And it had like this platform that you can stand on. I used to use that as my scale to gauge how much weight I lost or gained. Beautiful. If I needed to pull 20 pounds or 30 pounds of ground beef out of the storeroom, I put my shee pan, adjusted the weight of the shee pan, scooped out 30 pounds of ground beef, and make sure that that arrow hit right on 30. Do you know what happened every year? Someone from civil engineering would come out and calibrate that scale with a series of weights and measures. When they put it on the scale, it better point to the number of weight that's on that platform. Well, beloved, guess what some stores used to do many years ago? They would adjust the scale, whereby they would make more money off of the customer, cheating the customer. Okay? Cheating the customer. And God said, I hate an unjust balance. And so when we say we are to perform just judgment, beloved, it means that we're going to make a determination that when put in the scale before God, it doesn't favor anyone in a lopsided fashion. It's going to either exonerate the innocent and punish the guilty. It means that which is righteous in government. A just judgment speaks of judges, rulers, and kings. It talks about a law. It talks about the Davidic king, that is the Messiah. It talks about Jerusalem as the seat of just judgment, or God's attitude towards certain thing. Righteousness, justice in a case or in a cause. Righteous in one's speech, and righteousness as a ethical right in one's life. So when we say a just judgment, we are talking about making a determination that fits the evidence and matches with the law of God Himself. No hanky-panky, no tweeting the scales, whereby it favors the one with the scale while it robs the poor customer, charging more while the customer gets less. That's how they would tweet the scales. Tweet the scales. Well, let's see how this is used. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. This idea of just judgment. What do we mean by just judgment? Look at Deuteronomy. We'll be in the book of Deuteronomy here, so and it's all in order. Look at chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to these words. Now again, they're not in the land. All right? You got that second generation of Israelites born during the 40 years of wandering. So they're at least 40 years old. And they're about to go into the land following the death of Moses and the appointment of Joshua to be the next leader. Ready? I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren. Now, when it says hear the cause, it means going beyond just hearing the moans and the groans. It means hearing and gathering the data. And judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. So notice, they didn't have one set of rules for a pure-born Israelite, and then they had another rule for a non-Jew. There was a time in our country where black people lived by a different set of rules, while the white people lived by their rules. And the rules of the white man at that time were very unfavorable towards anyone in their community that they deemed to be strange or less than human. Not so with God. So if a stranger decided to live amongst the Israelites, he was to be judged accordingly. If he needed to be brought before the court, before the judge, or before an officer, he was to be dealt with the same rules and the same laws as his Jewish friend or neighbor. Look at chapter 16, in verse 18. Part of our text. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. And what does that mean? That which is right or just or normal. That which is righteous or justness. And where were they going to get that yardstick? Psalm 89. Justice and judgment are the habitation of God's throne. They were not simply to make up these laws willy-nilly as culture and society changed. They had a fixed standard. The very throne, the very judgment seat of God himself. He was the judge. He's the lawgiver. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His law doesn't get changed. Our laws shift and change as culture changes. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25 in verse 15. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. There you go. When it came to scales and when it came to determining the price of a commodity, and gold and silver and whatever was being purchased were on the scales. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shall thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So notice, here's another little requirement for them to live in the land and be prosperous and to continue. When you went to the market, God says, if I see hanky-panky going on in the exchange of silver and gold in exchange for a commodity, while the person who's selling the commodity is cheating the one who's buying, you may not live long in the land. So as you can see, beloved, the Israelites, unfortunately, when you read the Old Testament history, Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings, and then you read the prophets, where the prophets take the people to the woodshed for not doing a just judgment. Squashing the widows, taking advantage of the orphan and the homeless, favoring the rich and the poor, and ruling unjustly against those who could not defend themselves, maybe unable to pay for a lawyer, so they're going to do their own defense. And everything was stacked against that person. They were already guilty. It was simply just a formality to make everything look good. So notice, there was more than just idolatry that got these people in the hot water and then moved God's hand to exile them. It was more than just idolatry and tossing their babies into the flame. So as you can see, the job of a judge or the job of an officer that was given a delegated authority to do whatever for the sake of the people, for the peace and the tranquility of the people. Beloved, this was a very important job. This actually was a very weighty job. Indeed. Very, very weighty. Very important. And I think we should make the same connection in our day. If we have the ability to vote at any level in our state on appointing judges to any appellate or any state Supreme Court level, if we have that ability to vote for these judges, then it behooves us to make sure that we're putting the right people in those positions to actually rule according to just judgment and not the arbitrary whim of a changing culture or a society. Now, what about everyday life for you and I? Well, when it becomes down to a married couple, should there also be just judgment between a couple who have a controversy? Should not both members of that household search all and gather all the information they can before they go off and make a judgment against the other spouse? What about those with children in the house? It's very easy to snap judgment, make a decision off the cuff without getting all the data, right? Simply fly off the handle, pronounce a judgment, let it fall, and then days later you realize that you were wrong in your supposed just judgment. What about relationships between neighbors? There ought to be a just judgment between neighbors over any controversy. What if someone's child did something to your property? Or a child did something to your property, and you automatically think it's the kid next door. And you go off beating a drum. Come to find out that it was another person's kid that did whatever to your property. What about a church? When it comes to church discipline. Or better yet, you hear things from the pulpit. And because you're not a good student of God's word, you just don't understand what you heard, but you go off and you begin to call it heresy. You call it the pastor's out to lunch. Then eventually you begin to do some reading and hopefully some studying, and God opens up your eyes, and lo and behold, the man behind the pulpit was giving you the truth. You lacked understanding in order to appreciate and discern what you were being given. That goes for any Sunday school teacher. It's easy to go off and blame the teacher. Well, what about the student? You're going to ask three questions. If there's an issue, number one, is the study material at fault? Well, in this case, the Bible's never at fault. Well, what about the teacher? Yeah, the teacher could be at fault. What about the student? Were they hearing and processing properly, or were they daydreaming? And while they're daydreaming, when they come out of their dream, they're hearing little bits and pieces that are out of its context, and they draw a false conclusion. What about nations? When one nation makes the wrong determination about another nation. Remember the story in the Old Testament? Where David hears about the sickness of a particular king that helped him with some of the raw material for the temple. And David, knowing how helpful this king was in the past, now this king's son's on the throne, David wants to give comfort and solace to this son who's lost his daddy, and he sends an emissary with gifts. What was the counsel of that son, this new king? What was his counsel to the new king? These Jews are here simply to spy out the land, to check out your numbers, how many planes, how many guns, how many ships, because David plans to invade. That was false. And what did they do to those emissaries of David? Man, they cut off their beards, cut off their clothing, exposing certain parts of their body, which led to an embarrassment. David was not a happy camper. Okay. Again, we go back to Proverbs 19, verses 5 and 9. A false witness. False witnesses do not give just judgment. So, beloved, this is more than just simply an Old Testament lesson. this idea of being just in our own dealings, one with another, family relationships, neighborly, family, extended family, church family relationships. It has to be done with just judgment. So from just this passage, as I conclude, it's safe to say the Bible and God, and the God of the Bible, has much, much to say about politics and the motions of human government. What kind of society would we have if our judges and public servants, the officials whom we vote from, had characters and the integrity as God required Moses to find in such men, as we shall see? These principles are not lost because we're under the new covenant. We're going to consider in the next hour Jethro's advice to his son-in-law more in depth by considering, my dear friends, what Jethro told Moses to look for in these judges. Well, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.